When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
As you make your way through the old pasture gate at the bottom of the hill, DSC is there. When you step on the tarmac for a South African summit on poaching, DSC is there. When you carry your fly rod into the Bighorn River or your neighbor's perch pond, we're there too. BigGame.org.
Hey, it's camp house time again here at Kender Outdoors. Thanks a lot for joining us. Really do appreciate you spending a little time with us. Front Door to the Camp House is brought to you by Calming Care from a trusted name, Purina. Calming Care settles the overactive dog. You know, the one that scratched up the door frame or chewed up the furniture. Safe and effective. People love what Calming Care is doing for their dogs. Learn more when you visit me at kinderoutdoors.com. Hey, if you're new to this camp house, there are some things that you should know. Number one is our big fall giveaway. We're giving away a $4,000 Dillon fiberglass, one-piece, top-of-the-line hunting blind. It's a 6x6 bow-rifle combo blind sitting on a 5-foot tower. And we're throwing in a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, too. So it's a $6,000 package, and all you have to do is register. You can do that at kinderoutdoors.com. Another thing you need to know if you're new to this camp house is to be sure and like and follow Kinder Outdoors on Facebook. That's K-I-N-D-E-R, Kinder Outdoors, because you get bonus entry opportunities when you follow Kinder Outdoors. Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows. That's the name of the contest. We're going to give it away just before Christmas, but you can register right now. I want to wish you folks in Georgia good luck today as you take to the field on opening day of the Georgia deer firearm season. Looks like you've got pretty weather for it, and the season will run through January 10th. I don't know how I missed this last month, but we're making up for it now. Giant fish coming out of West Texas. His name is Tuffy Wood, and he caught this 13.15-pound bass out of Twin Buttes Reservoir just outside of San Angelo, Texas. There'll be giant bass coming out of Lake Fork next month, November 5th through the 8th, at the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest. And it will be during that Texas Fest that all of our Texas legacy anglers from the past year, the folks that caught a largemouth weighing 13 pounds or larger, will all be recognized and awarded with their replicas on stage during this Bassmaster Elite Series event at Lake Fork. Tuffy and his 13-pound tub of a largemouth bass are on the bragging board at kinderoutdoors.com. You ought to go check it out. Brandon Polinick is at kinderoutdoors.com, too. He won that Bassmaster Elite event on Santee Cooper last weekend, brought to you by the United States Marine Corps. This was Brandon's fifth elite victory, his second of the 2020 season. He won at Lake Champlain earlier this year. He entered Championship Sunday in third place, but just 1 pound, 3 ounces behind Carl Jacobson. Then, on that final day, Sunday, Brandon Polinick of Rathdrum, Idaho, added a limit of 22 pounds, 11 ounces, and edged Carl out for the Big Blue Trophy. Brandon caught a lucky break. He saw a big fish blow up just out of casting range, so he idled over toward the commotion, spotted a brush pile that he had not found earlier in the week, tied up a drop shot, and caught that 7-pound, 12-ounce giant on 10-pound test. Brandon Polinick's win moved him into 15th place in the Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year standings with 493 points. Clark Wendland, Leander, Texas, still holds the lead at 587. Corey Johnston is in second place, and David Mullins of Mount Carmel, Tennessee, is third. Canada's Jeff Gustafson caught the Phoenix Big Bass of this Elite Series event, 9-7. A fat bear is a happy bear. And bear number 747 has won the annual Fat Bear Week competition hosted by the Katmai National Park and Preserve in Alaska. If you're not familiar, Fat Bear Week is a celebration of these amazing animals. They fatten up as winter approaches. It's a matter of life or death for brown bears. The more bulk they put on, the more likely they are to survive a long, cold winter. And bear number 747 looks aptly prepared for winter hibernation. Check her out. She is this year's Fat Bear Champion. And she's at KinderOutdoors.com. We have repeated this story every month all summer long, starting back in the spring, and now here we go into the fall. Since COVID-19 lockdowns began in March and widespread rioting began in May, federal firearm background checks for 2020 have skyrocketed. 28.82 million by the end of September. That surpasses last year's 12-month record, all-time record, of 28.36 million. And we have 3 months to go. An updated report released by the Federal Bureau of Investigation shows that the National Instant Criminal Background Check System processed 2.89 million background checks in September 2020 alone. Calming care is an answer to prayer for a lot of dog owners that have nervous, overactive, overbarker, overjumper type dogs. Calming care very gently works over time to settle those particular dogs. Learn more about calming care at KinderOutdoors.com.
Hey everybody, it's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
We are planning for great crowds and a great time at the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections, February 11th through the 14th, and we'll certainly hope that you're planning to be a part of it as well. Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, and I can assure you that as we make plans to get together again in February, we're also planning to do it safely. Whatever is required to make your visit comfortable, enjoyable, and above all safe, we will do. This is the place where the finest guides and outfitters globally come together to display their opportunities to the hunting and fishing public, and they'll be hungry to do business. You'll also see the finest collections of firearms, art, jewelry, hunting gear, and clothing anywhere. We will have wonderful banquets, live and silent auctions featuring one-of-a-kind collectibles, opportunities and gear, and a family-friendly celebration of our hunting heritage. To learn more, visit biggame.org. And I'll see you in February.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com.
Do you love crappie? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you to the Crappie Expo 2020 in Branson, Missouri, October the 30th through November 1st at the Branson Convention Center. Crappie Expo will have over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers showing and selling the greatest and latest crappie fishing products in the world. Crappie Expo 2020 features the richest crappie tournament in history. Catch all the weigh-ins at the Crappie Expo. Hey, you like to eat crappie? The world's largest crappie fry starts at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Crappie Expo. How much crappie can you eat for free? Don't forget to sign up. Free drawings to win a new Ranger or Vexus boat at the Crappie Expo. Must be present to win. Let's see. Crappie Expo 2020 has country music, free crappie, free boats, and crappie fishing products out the gazoo. I'll see you at the Crappie Expo 2020. Be sure to bring the kids. It's trick or treat. Don't you just love Branson? CrappieExpo.com and ExploreBranson.com.
If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, Then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
We've camped on the ground and in five-star lodges, but have never found a more welcome camp than this one. The Dallas Safari Club presents Kender Outdoors.
Our roots are in Dallas, but the DSC has grown globally to become a worldwide leader in wildlife conservation, the right to hunt and fish, and the education of future generations. Join us at biggame.org.
You know, with every cool front that blows through, duck hunters become more and more optimistic, hoping that their quarry is riding that wave of cool air. My friend Tom Dockin in Northfield, Minnesota, at his famous Oak Ridge Kennels is no different. And Tom appreciates a great dog in the blind. We all do, right? He's going to spend the next couple of minutes helping us to build a better duck dog. Tom, help us out.
Hey, Billy, I'm going to go through a little something that I ran into a few weeks ago. We were in a duck hunting situation, had a young dog that had probably about four or five duck hunts under his belt. And this is a problem that people run into, and it can drive you crazy. So we're going to give you a couple of tips to maybe make this thing go a little bit easier for you. Here's what happened. We were in the duck blind, and we started blowing on the duck calls. And you know what that means. You know, if a dog has a little bit of experience, when you blow on that duck call, you know, he knows something's going to happen. Well, what happens is with these young dogs is the excitement is way too much. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to start to whine. And they're going to start to whine. And then eventually, if they get bad enough, they're going to start barking. Well, barking is pretty easy to take care of because a dog understands when he's barking that if he gets disciplined, he should shut up. But a dog who whines is almost a subconscious thing that no matter what kind of discipline you administer, they are going to continue to whine. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that duck call in my normal training, in my obedience session, and I'm going to have that duck call, and I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to do two things, and this is really important. I'm going to give the sit command, and I'm going to give a couple of quacks on the duck call. I'm going to walk a little bit more, sit, using the leash, quack, quack, sit. And what I'm going to do is now that duck call is going to start meaning a command versus just adding fuel to the fire. Now, your dog is also going to start associating it with ducks coming in. But one other thing that you can use it for is you can use it for steadying. So when I use that sit command and I give a couple of quacks on it, pretty soon I can just give a couple of quacks when I'm training, and it's going to mean the same thing as sit and stay. What this is going to do is get your dog thinking that when you blow that duck call, you're actually giving a command, and this is going to get him thinking in a working frame of mind and a little bit more discipline and not a free-for-all. That technique right there is really going to help out if you have a dog that's a little bit hyperactive. I want to tell you that you can find your Dockin dog training products at Dockins.com or a local retailer near you.
Tom Dockin. Thanks so much, Tom. Learn more about Tom Dockin or any of our Kinder Outdoors pros when you visit the website, kinderoutdoors.com. If you were to visit Tom's kennel in Northfield, Minnesota, you'd notice there in the fridge that he keeps a supply of Fortiflora on hand. Workouts can be stressful for our dogs, and all dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time. Fortiflora settles that. Order Fortiflora from Chewy.com. Hey, waterfowlers, have you ever made duck meatballs? Master Chef John Bonnell knows how.
You know, one of my favorite ways to do duck, you can serve this to anybody and they won't believe you that it's duck. I like to breast out my ducks. It's one of the easiest ways to do it. Take just your pure duck meat and grind it, and then equal parts duck meat, pork, and bacon. Grind all three of those together, add some Parmesan, some garlic, a little bit of breadcrumbs, and make you some meatballs. Duck meatballs will be great for anybody. A little bit of fresh herb in there, too. Basil, oregano, that kind of stuff works.
Man, heavy on the bacon, John, when you make mine. Heavy on the bacon.
You got it. Bacon makes everything better.
It does. And listen, if you've never had dinner with John, that's easy to do. Where are you?
We're at 4259 Bryant Urban Road, southwest side of Fort Worth, or you can find us on the web at bonnellstexas.com.
And it is, oh, so good. Lots of wild game on the menu at Bonnell's. I miss him. He's our old camp house storyteller and the outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News for three decades. My old friend Ray Sasser.
I'm a duck snob. I got there honestly enough, learning duck hunting strategies from some of the best southeast Texas waterfowl minds of the 1970s. Ducks were abundant, and those grizzled low pros hunted in what is now the McFadden National Wildlife Refuge. The hurricanes have taken a toll on that vast expanse of boggy marsh butting up against the Gulf of Mexico just west of Sabine Pass. 30 years ago, it was God's gift to ducks and duck hunters. How snobbish were we? The limit was 10 ducks in those days, and game was so abundant we could have filled a limit virtually every day. Instead, we chose to hunt ducks selectively and settled on the elegant pintail drake as a status bird. Mallard drakes were a close second, but few mallards came that far south. We would dutifully trudge to the blind before daylight. On good weather days, the north wind breathed life into decoys as swarms of teal, widgeons, gadwalls, and shovelers worked the spread. We didn't bother to call, didn't bother to shoot. We just watched the parade, impatiently awaiting pintails that first appeared as dots against an azure sky coming out of the rice fields to the north. There were days when we never fired a shot until 8 a.m. The goal was 10 pintail drakes. Achieving that goal was the duck snob status equivalent of bagging a Boone and Crockett buck or flashing a Rolex watch. It was tough to do, not because there was a shortage of pintails, but because a hen or two always got shot in the crossfire. In my mind, the 1970s represents the golden era of modern duck hunting. In ascending order, here is my list of favorite duck species. Gadwalls. This is the duck in the gray flannel suit. In fact, their nickname is gray duck because of their nondescript gray bodies. Gadwalls are not easy to hunt. They're often call shy and decoy shy. Even when they commit to decoys, they try to land on the outskirts of the spread. American widgeon. These ducks are like the poor man's pintail, flying in large flocks and floating into a decoy spread. They decoy readily, and you often hear their high-pitched whistling peeps before you see the approaching ducks. The drake is an elegant bird with a distinctive white forehead and crown that earns it the nickname ball pate. Teal. American teal come in three species, blue wing, green wing, and cinnamon, and they're all cool in their own way. You don't see many cinnamon teal in Texas, and the blue wings are mostly gone south by the time the normal duck season starts. Green wings are the mainstay during traditional duck seasons, and the drakes are beautiful little ducks with richly colored chestnut heads accented by a glossy green patch. They seem mesmerized by decoys and often buzz the spread in a confusing swarm. Teal are the real deal. Mallards. The mallard drake is the vision most people conjure when thinking of wild ducks. The drake's iridescent green head, chestnut breast, electric blue wing speculums, and gaudy orange feet may sound tasteless, but it's a pretty neat look when the sun hits him like a spotlight as he's coming to the call. Wood ducks. The first duck I ever shot was a wood duck drake jumped off a narrow creek about a mile behind my East Texas home. I was about 14, and I knew so little about ducks that I couldn't identify the second duck I shot that morning, a wood duck hen. Many people consider wood duck drakes to be the most beautiful North American duck, and they are correct. Woodies are hard to hunt because they don't decoy readily, nor do they respond well to calling. Their eerie whistling calls are background music for East Texas river bottoms and lakes. Pintails. These guys remain my favorites, even though they've fallen on hard times. When a big flock of pintails commits to decoys, they seldom come directly to the spread. Instead, they make big, lazy circles, gracefully drifting on wind currents, parachuting lower with each pass, looking carefully for anything suspicious. Pintail drakes in flight are the most elegant of waterfowl. Their long, slender necks counterbalanced by the equally long tail feathers for which they are named. Up close, the drake's beautiful mix of understated colors make it appear dressed for a night on the town. Mr. Blackwell would approve. I know I do.
Ray Sasser on the radio is like a good book by the fire in the dead of winter. I love his writing and his reading. I've got more from Ray Sasser, plus we're going to do a little more dog training, this time headed to the Texas Hill Country with my friend Carl Gunzer. What happens with that young dog when there are no ducks?
Hi, this is Bobby Labonte, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
It's really exciting to see right now. One thing that's great about archery is anybody can do it. Men, women, or children, everybody can do this. Our lessons right now are fantastic. We see entire family groups come in, have a great time, and they're finding out that this is something that is a great pastime, great sport, and everybody can be successful in.
Americans are learning what a huge benefit it is to learn to hunt, learn to fish, learn to put safe and wholesome food on our tables. Cinnamon Creek Archery in Roanoke, Texas, has taught many thousands of families about the great sport of archery. People who thought they could just never do that now enjoy the range and harvesting their own wild game.
You can't just sell somebody a bow and say, hey, good luck. You need to be able to take them aside, teach them the fundamentals, teach them how to shoot correctly so that they can be as successful as possible and really enjoy our sport.
Visit CinnamonCreekRanch.com and discover the great knowledge and satisfaction that so many other families have found in archery.
This is Randy Jackson with Teske's Outdoors on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. Don't let that next hunt slip up on you without paying us a visit at Teske's. Are you looking for that next rifle, pistol, or new shotgun? You'll find the most dependable names at Teske's like Browning, Beretta, Benelli, Stoger, Winchester, Bagara, and Christensen. Pistols by Sig, Kimber, Cove, Taurus, and Smith & Wesson. If you're having a hard time finding ammo, then come see us at Teske's. We receive regular shipments, even in 9mm. Snake boots sure come in handy in Texas. We have them from Twisted X. If you can't find the Western boots that you're looking for at Teske's, they just don't make it. Take a look at our Sitka clothing and Sims fishing apparel. Teske's Outdoors on the south side of Interstate 20, just a couple of minutes west of Weatherford. From dove to white-tailed deer, at Teske's we're hunters too, and we'd love to visit with you on your way to the ranch.
You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics and they smile while learning. If you want outdoor adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged into battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Flush that old bird dog out of that chair and have a seat. You're in camp with us at the Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors.
Reflections is the name of the next DSC Convention and Expo, February 11th through the 14th. We're making plans to roll out the red carpet for you and your family. We all need this. I'm DSC Executive Director Corey Mason, and I'll meet you in Dallas in February.
Hey, welcome back to our campfire here at Kender Outdoors. Mighty glad you're here. Spend a little time on the website. Check it out, kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. Before the break, we heard Ray Sasser talking about his favorite ducks. But I think the most enjoyable part of a duck hunt has got to be the characters you meet, the duck hunters. Here's Ray again.
You don't have to be crazy to be a duck hunter, but it helps. I was on my knees in the primordial ooze of a Chambers County rice field when that thought first occurred to me. Blue-winged teal almost outnumbered mosquitoes, and Forrest West, the rabbi of southeast Texas marshes, was single-handedly fighting the fast-forward ducks off his pitifully thin decoy spread. West's nickname has nothing to do with religion. It's more about his shaggy beard, hawk nose, and beer barrel physique that makes him resemble an unholy version of the stereotypical Jewish rabbi. Hunting ducks with a rabbi is an exercise in abuse. West never does anything the easy way. Take this hunt, for instance. We'd waded half a mile from the truck through a quagmire of mud. It was like walking through freshly dispensed superglue. West, in his sometimes wrong but never in doubt style, was extolling the virtues of a Japanese-made autoloader, a brand I'm pretty sure no longer exists. The rabbi was especially sold on the autoloader's reliability, considering that his usual stomping grounds are nature's equivalent of a shotgun torture chamber. "This is how a real duck hunter cleans his shotgun," said the rabbi, dipping his autoloader into the muddy rice-filled water and holding it at arm's length while water ran out the barrel is through a water hose with a modified choke. From the playa lakes of the Texas Panhandle to the shallow salt flats of the Laguna Madre, I've hunted gaudy greenheads and elegant pintails with an assortment of real duck hunters. We've watched a tornado of mallards swirl down on an irrigation lake in western peanut country and hunkered in marshy potholes in hopes of luring a sharp-eyed mottled duck. Real duck hunters share common ground, but you can bet the ground is unstable, and so are the hunters. Why some people are immune to the whistle of wings in dawn's gray light remains great mystery, locked irretrievably into DNA, genetic imprinting, and other things that real duck hunters don't have time to contemplate. Let's hope that waterfowling is a disease that will never be cured. Texas would be a far poorer place without real duck hunters.
Ray Sasser writing about duck hunters. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch, just outside of Burney, Texas, in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. If you're a frustrated duck hunter because year after year it just seems like the ducks have shifted, they don't come to see you anymore, You need to visit Joshua Creek Ranch. Check out their decoyed mallard duck hunts. And if you've got a young dog that needs birds, hey, it's a slam dunk guarantee. Take them to Joshua Creek Ranch. Stay well at Joshua Creek Ranch. Let's talk about that dog that needs ducks with my friend Carl Gunzer. He's trained a lot of champions and two national champions, and he's one of our pros here at Kinder Outdoors. Carl, welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Thanks, Billy. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's fall. It's a beautiful time of year. Guys all over the country are out running their bird dogs, whether they be hunting upland birds or chasing waterfowl. It's an active time of year. But some people are having trouble finding the ducks, finding the waterfowl. And I want to talk about that with you today. And that situation where you've got maybe a young dog out in the blind with you, but no ducks, that can present some problems, can't it?
Yeah, it sure can. Let's hope that doesn't happen too often in a young dog's career, because it's really hard to get them the training and the reps that they need to kind of grow. But there's a few ways that you can kind of help still train the dog. How about that?
So yeah.
The one thing I always tell people is that if possible, the first few times that you're hunting with a young dog, maybe have your friend do more of the shooting, or your partners do more of the shooting and hunting, and you do more of the dog work and dog watching. You know, I think it's really important for a young retriever to learn to be steady from the beginning. You know, if you let them break and run amok, you know, in their first few outings, it gets a lot harder to fix. You know, if you kind of keep your same rules that you have in training and preparing them for the field, enforced on their first few, you know, experiences, then, you know, it really helps you for the long term. You're not fixing a problem that you created.
Exactly. In those situations where the other guy is shooting and you're handling your dog, if those ducks just don't come in,
yep.
Is it a good idea to quit early? What should we do?
Yeah. So, bringing a bumper or a little dock and dummy in your blind bag can really help get some training out in the field in a real situation that you can't mimic. So one of the hard things to teach a young dog is to look up. You know, when they're first starting hunting, they need to learn that, you know, the ducks come from the sky. When we're training, typically we've got, you know, somebody out in the field throwing a bird and the dog's retrieving it. The dogs learn to cue in on people out there doing things, where you really need the dog to look up. So one thing that I always do is, if you're in a blind, I would have your partner go outside of the blind and throw kind of a bumper up over your head. You know, you can pick up your gun and just shoulder it, or you can shoot up in the air in the direction of your bumper, or, you know, like a duck and dummy type thing, and get that dog used to looking up. When you point the gun up in the sky, that there's something up there that the dog should look for. So, and it's really nice to create that in a training scenario, you know, maybe easier than it is when you're shooting real ducks. You know, if you've got enough ducks coming in, the dogs will figure it out. But it could be something that I think on a slow day might be a great way to sort of practice, you know, for the real deal. And, of course, you can do it out of a blind, out of a boat, all that. Again, things that are hard to recreate in a training situation, but
yeah,
very real in the field. Yep.
Yep. You can take that. You can take that that opportunity and or make that maybe bad situation into an opportunity, a training opportunity, when you don't have any ducks coming in. Do you always like to end it on a positive note? Is that important? That or does it matter?
So I think generally the hunting experience for these young dogs is so much kind of fun and maybe overstimulation. I think generally they have a great time. And I think it's a little different than your bird dogs. You know, if you've got a young bird dog and they're out there running and questing for, you know, a half an hour and not finding any birds, it can get pretty frustrating, or maybe they lose interest, you know. But with a retriever, if they're out there and they're getting a few retrieves, they're getting used to the sights and sounds and smells of a duck blind or a boat or, you know, a duck call, all those things. I think the things I'm more careful about that kind of early impressions is, one, that the dog gets to do something, so they're not sitting there for hours, maybe whining or falling asleep. So he gets some fun. Number two, he's not too cold or too hot. You know, it can be frustrating. You know, those are kind of some of the negatives I'd like to avoid. So try and make the experience as enjoyable as possible is always my theory.
Kind of
the initial hunts.
And no matter what, good day, bad day, lots of ducks, no ducks, feed him that good pro plan performance formula when you get back home.
Of course.
Hey, thanks, Carl. Carl Gunzer, one of our Kinder Outdoors pros. Book your stay at Joshua Creek Ranch for an upland bird hunt, a decoyed mallard hunt, an axis deer hunt, and book that trip with peace of mind. Joshua Creek Ranch has relaxed their cancellation policy. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Browning. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Now, Billy, I've got to go fishing, so while I'm gone, make sure you leave those turkeys around my house alone.
Hey, have you entered to win our giant fall hunting package yet? It's from Kinder Outdoors, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Dillon Hunting Blinds. It's called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows, and we're going to draw a winner in mid-December. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com to win a 6x6 Dillon bow and rifle combo blind on a 5-foot tower and a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, Wild Game Processing, and Event Center. Valued at over $6,000, this will be a humdinger of a ho-ho-ho. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com. Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd. 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. Wing shooting in Argentina is an activity that must be experienced rather than explained. Dove are considered to be a plague in the area, so there are no bag limits, and there are no seasons to hunt them.
We've got 20 million birds on the roost, and they're there 365 days a year. They're there every day, all day. They fly 8 hours a day, every day.
At Cordoba Doves, you'll enjoy delicious food, exceptional hospitality, beverages in the field. Your own personal bird boy.
Bird boy's job is to pour shells in your bag when you're going through a box every 5 minutes and keep count of the birds that you've shot and to bring you something to drink every few minutes. At the end of the day, we pick up all the hulls and pick up the birds, but you can't send him out to pick up birds at 600 or 800 times a day.
Experience the very best that Argentina has to offer through Cordoba Doves. Contact the U.S. Representative Lane Balky at CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
You know those great sounds you hear from a pre-sunrise deer stand and the smell of spring in the turkey woods? We do too. This camp house is home to the Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors.
DSC is extremely cautious with your money. We research and know that the projects we support will indeed positively impact the future of wildlife and habitat, your rights as an outdoorsman or woman, and ensure that our kids and grandkids will have the opportunity and training to carry on the outdoors heritage. What's your money at work at biggame.org.
I shared the stage at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo earlier this year with Dave Kinesick and Doug Pritchard, top-notch gun instructors from SAM, Precision Training Courses, Sportsman's All-Weather All-Terrain Marksmanship School. And throughout the remainder of the show today, we're going to play back a lot of the lessons they taught us on stage. It's top-notch info from some of the finest instructors in the world to make you a better shooter. Enjoy.
If you missed that deer this fall and your buddies have been giving you a hard time, you need to know Sam. Sam is Sportsman's All-Weather, All-Terrain Marksmanship. My buddy Larry Wysoon is a big fan of this, and a whole lot of people are, and have visited these guys on location many times. I want you to make welcome the guy with the microphone and the goatee right down here. Is that still called a goatee, Doug? What do they call that? Huh?
Something cool.
The girls like that. The girls like that. Say hello to Doug Pritchard with Sam. That was an overwhelming response. They love you so far. Don't screw it up, Doug, okay? And Dave Kinesick is here as well. He's going to be up here on the stage, actually, with this gun showing you, demonstrating what they do at SAM. And I guess we're going to start with a little slideshow, huh?
Yeah, we got a couple things here. How's that sound? Sound good?
Aim it in, not up.
Thanks, Bob. Bill. All right. Yeah, as Bill mentioned, we're from SAM. We have several things that happen here at the FTW Ranch. We have the shooting program, but we also have other things going on. We also train military snipers come out, and they do some long-range stuff. We have over 32 ranges, active ranges. We have ranges all the way at the 3,200 yards, 4,200, and we do some extremely long-range stuff, too. And with that also, we'll do some training with safari-type training. So anything from close-in, quick snaps, preparing yourself for hunting Africa, or going up in the mountains to do sheep hunting or goat hunting or whatever you have in your hunting plan, that's what we like to focus on. So we have several different programs out there. For us, the owners of the FTW Ranch, Mr. Fallon, Tim Fallon, we are very fortunate. We came from military backgrounds, but we're very fortunate that Mr. Tim, he's hunted all around the world, and he keeps us straight. You know, because we were kind of came in here as just out of the military with that tactical mind, military mind, and he keeps us squared away on the hunting side and keeps us in line. So, I'm Doug Pritchard. That's my background from 26 years in the Navy, and went to sniper school in 88, became a sniper instructor in 92, and have spent my years since then training in marksmanship, teaching marksmanship. Got out in 04, and I wanted to do what I'm doing. This is what we're doing. This is what we love to do. And I love the hunting side. It was good to get out in the real world and go out hunting. We've been very fortunate to hunt around the world in the last year since we've been out. And I can't thank God enough for that. How about that? Dave?
Well, yes, I'm Dave Kinesick, and I'm glad to see a lot of our friends showed up and a lot less of the hecklers that we were looking forward to. They were supposed to show up today as well, but I don't see any yet.
Other than Bill over here.
Oh, well, we do have him. So, I grew up here in Texas, Central Texas. And grew up as a small child. I was hunting my whole life. Wanted to be in the military, joined the military in 94, wanted to be a SEAL, did that for 20 years, primarily on the East Coast. And then when I retired, looking for something else to do, still enjoyed hunting a lot, still enjoyed the shooting sports, and this ended up being a great fit for me. So I enjoy being a part of the industry. So today we're going to talk about how to become a better shooter.
Let's do it. All right, this is the model that we kind of go by. As you can see right there, it's the hunter's job to kill an animal instantly with the first shot. And that's very important in our training, that we look at understanding your ability to take the animal in that first shot is huge. And the fact that you have to be 100% sure you can do that. And through training, you find out what that looks like. Well, when you look through the reticle, are you 100% sure you can take this animal? So that's big for us.
Next, you know, we've had the good fortune to pursue most of the huntable game in the vast areas around the world, from the Rockies all the way to the Altai Mountains of Mongolia, from the thick forests of Cameroon to the high deserts of Namibia. While the hunting world is changing from many outside pressures, one thing has remained constant. That is the need for the visiting hunter to shoot effectively across a wide variety of habitat, game species, and shooting conditions. What this means to you and me as hunters, regardless of our experience level, is the need for continuous training and shooting practice. And let me give you a good analogy. Jordan Spieth is recognized as one of the top golfers in the world. Yet, even though he may win the Masters on Sunday, you will find him back on the practice range on Tuesday with his swing coach, preparing for that next tournament and that next critical shot that may be the difference between first and second place. Good shooting, like the game of golf, requires constant training and practice. There are obvious advantages and great need to be an accurate shooter while on your hunts. And here's just a few. Ethics. There are few things worse than having an animal wounded and left to suffer as a result of poor shooting. Yes, it can happen, but the more we train and practice, good shooting will result in clean one-shot kills, which every hunter should be striving for. Next, there's the matter of pure economics. No hunt can be considered inexpensive. I've known several hunters who saved their entire lives to experience the thrill of a sheep or Cape Buffalo hunt, only to lose their trophy as a result of poor shooting, and a wounded animal not recovered is game over. Finally, with dangerous game, there's a matter of safety. Not only for you, but for each member of the hunting party and the locals in the area. A poorly placed shot can result in serious injury or even loss of life. During our hunting careers, we've seen, and even committed, a lot of mistakes that in hindsight could have been avoided. These include, but are not limited to, the ability to quickly acquire the target in your scope and take the shot when an animal presents itself in the right position. Improper use of, or inexperience with, hunter aids and accessories such as bipods, backpacks, or even African shooting sticks, which are a staple in almost every African safari. Not being thoroughly acquainted with your equipment. For example, in the heat of the moment, freezing up and not reacting as needed, to not being comfortable with the twin triggers on a double rifle.
And again?
Or incorrectly adjusting or not adjusting the turret of your scope when it's needed.
Good job, man.
Being out of position in relationship to your guide or PH when a shooting opportunity is presented. This result is a missed opportunity you have worked so hard for. Not backing up your own shot by either not being able to quickly re-engage the target and shoot again, or not knowing when to. Not understanding proper shot placement of your quarry. Not being able to stay calm, cool, and collected when that moment comes that you have worked so hard for. We call it hair in the scope, and trust me, no one is immune. And probably the worst sin of all, attempting shots that we are not capable of making. Environment and circumstance can make shots extremely difficult. Not understanding the many variables such as wind or shot angles can and often do result in poor shot placement and, worst of all, wounded game.
So that's a pretty good introduction to SAM shooting schools. We're going to have Dave and Doug back for more intense training later. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Joshua Creek Ranch in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. The perfect spot to get married under the live oaks and winding Joshua Creek. World-class bird hunting in the morning and a beautiful wedding in the afternoon. Learn more at KinderOutdoors.com. Let's stretch our legs for a minute and I'll meet you right back here at Kinder Outdoors.
Flush that old bird dog out of that chair and have a seat. You're in camp with us at the Dallas Safari Club and Kinder Outdoors.
At DSC, we like to look down the road 20, 50, and 100 years and see clear running water full of trout, majestic sheep in high snowy places, and grassy mountain valleys filled with elk. We also picture a hunter in that valley and a fisherman in that stream. Just like Theodore Roosevelt 100 years ago, the work that we do today is terribly important. BigGame.org.
Hey, you boys, get back in here off that porch. We have more chores to do around this old camp house today at Kinder Outdoors. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. The Pro Plan formulas are built specifically for all the different ages and activity levels and breeds of dogs. Itchy coat? There's a Pro Plan for that. Older dog? Yep. Pick up the Pro Plan that's perfect for your dog. Purina Pro Plan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. We're going to go turkey hunting this hour. Fall turkey hunting with, boy, a guy that knows all about that, Ray I. And back on the rifle range with Dave and Doug from SAM, Sportsman's All-Weather, All-Terrain Marksmanship School on the FTW Ranch. Make yourself at home. Every year, the NWTF, the National Wild Turkey Federation, hosts their annual convention and sports show in Nashville, Tennessee. In fact, it is the largest consumer show in Nashville each year. They've been getting together for 44 years, but the 45th will not be in person. The NWTF has announced this week that their annual convention and sports show will be held virtually in February. They'll announce the format later. They say that the 2020 convention and sports show drew over 57,000 to Nashville's Opryland Resort and Convention Center. You know, for outdoors folks like you and me, fall is already a satisfying and exciting time of year. But it gets even better with a free rifle. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department is running a bonus raffle during October. This month, anyone who buys a Super Tag ticket in Wyoming will also have an opportunity to win a custom-built climber rifle donated by Gunworks. How about Matt Zolinick of Ogalla, Nebraska? Matt's 28 years old. He's been shooting ducks for 16 of those years. And the regular duck opener in Nebraska has become a bit of a tradition for him and his friend's dad. Every year, they hunt the Nebraska Sand Hills. And this year's hunt was extra special because Matt became the first hunter of the season to complete the 2020 Nebraska Duck Slam. The Slam challenges hunters to harvest a either-sex teal, as well as drakes from three other species, widgeon, mallard, and pintail. Because Matt is the first to complete the challenge, he receives hunting gear, courtesy of Ducks Unlimited. Matt's grinning real big, holding those beautiful blue-winged teal on the bragging board at KinderOutdoors.com. Fred Dazat is 73 years old of Marksville, Louisiana, and boy, that's old enough to know better. Fred, along with 59-year-old Stephen Reichy, 35-year-old Brandon Scott, and 21-year-old William Aquillard, have all been cited for taking alligators without a license down in Louisiana. Violating alligator hunting regulations in Louisiana brings a $400 to $950 fine and up to $120 in jail. That's per gator. Taking alligators without a license carries another fine, $250 to $500 and up to 90 days in jail. And all of the men face civil restitution. They need to replace the value of those illegally taken gators. Six of them in all. Hey, you guys with bird dogs, working dogs, retrievers, cow dogs, you need to know about Purina ProPlan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. It's a hot fuel and exactly what your hard-working dog needs to replace what they used up today. They'll be bouncing off the end of the rope tomorrow, ready to go again. Purina ProPlan Performance Formula at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. For a bird hunter, a bird dog owner, the decline of quail populations in the United States has spurred conservation efforts across the country. Bird hunters very familiar with this bad Bob White trend here in Texas. Over the last five decades, there's been a 1.8% annual decline in quail populations statewide. That's an annual, every year, 1.8% down over 50 years. The Cross Timbers region that I love to hunt, well, it's seen an 89% decline in average bobwhite abundance since 1978. Texas Parks and Wildlife biologists are partnering with university researchers and other experts to hone in on the best management strategies to bring back this beloved game bird. That work is funded through Texas hunting license fees and a portion of the proceeds from the Upland Game Bird Stamp, Farm Bill conservation programs, and contributions from a number of nonprofit organizations like the Texas Quail Coalition. Results are hard to come by. Research is drastically important, and your donation keeps that research going. Please consider. A quick reminder before I make a run to the coffee pot that you need to enter to win our big fall hunting contest here at Kinder Outdoors with our partners at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery and Dillon Hunting Blinds. We're giving away a Dillon blind on a 5-foot tower and a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, Wild Game Processing and Event Center. It's a $6,000 package in all, just to say thanks for listening. Enter now at KinderOutdoors.com.
Hi, this is Tuff Edelman, world champion bull rider. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
At DSC, the mission has been so solid and successful in the areas of hunter advocacy, education, and conservation that our membership has grown to include people from around the globe. Like-minded conservationists that know the importance of teaching young people how to fish, hunt, camp, and conserve. If you share the desire to pass along these great rights to your children and their children as well, consider a DSC membership. Dallas Safari Club is truly an international organization with our roots and annual convention and expo in Dallas, Texas. But there are DSC chapters all across America. We believe that the North American model of science-based conservation put in place by men like Teddy Roosevelt and duplicated in countries worldwide works. We carefully vet and support groups that purely work towards science-based conservation. We spend a great deal of time and money on our future generations sharing our rich hunting history and heritage. DSC also stands toe-to-toe every day against the forces that would abolish your gun rights and your right to hunt and fish. Stand with us. Visit biggame.org.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out, with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Warm campfire is always the gathering spot, no matter the weather. Tall tales and life's tough spots get worked out here. This is Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Next year never looks so good. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, inviting you to the DSC's Hunters Convention and Expo, February 11th through the 14th. You bet we're making plans because conservation doesn't stop. Details are at biggame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. Welcome back to our camp house here at Kinder Outdoors. Thank you for spending a little time with us today. You know, a lot of people hunt turkeys in the spring. It's so much fun to call in that old gobbler that's out looking for love. But fall is an awesome time to hunt turkeys as well. Now, it's different. Tactics are certainly not the same as during the spring mating season. And I talked to Ray Eye about that a year or two ago to find out how the master himself goes about hunting turkeys in the fall.
If there is a legal turkey season open anywhere, Ray Eye is more than likely in the woods, and that's exactly where you are today, somewhere in the Ozarks, aren't you, Ray?
Yeah, I'm in the Ozarks. It's Missouri's fall turkey season. It's open full month of October. Actually, I wanted to go ahead and tell you guys that I've been hunting fall turkeys in Missouri since 1975 when I took my first fall gobbler with a bow. So I've been doing this a while.
Yeah, you have been, and this is that's your homeland. There's probably not a sapling in those hills that you haven't passed by, leaned on, or camped next to through the years.
Pretty much so, yeah. Pretty much so, Billy.
Trying to reach you is very difficult. It reminds me of the old Green Acres TV show when they had to climb a telephone pole to make a phone call.
You have to find
the top of a hill somewhere.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad. You would think of today's technology, you'd have cell service, but it's pretty spotty down here in the Ozarks. It's hard to get cell service.
Well, I appreciate you climbing the pole for me today. We're going to talk about hunting fall turkeys a little bit. A lot of guys overlook fall turkey season. They go once or twice in the spring, and then they really miss a great opportunity in the fall. Everybody's looking at those white-tailed deer, and they get fascinated by them, and rightfully so, but don't miss out on fall turkeys. It can be a cool hunt.
Yeah, very much so. It is overlooked, and fall turkey hunting for me is real turkey hunting and real turkey calling, and it's different than the spring. And one thing I always like to tell turkey hunters, if you're a spring hunter, you should fall hunt, because if you fall turkey hunt and learn about the social structure and the pecking order of the wild turkeys and the different types of calls you use, I call more in the fall, you'll be a better spring turkey hunter. And what a great time. You can hunt all day in the fall. The woods is pretty. And it's just a great time to be out and just to hear a, a flock of fall turkeys respond to a call and come in on a frosty morning. Nothing quite like it. Actually, for me, I prefer the fall turkey hunting over the spring.
Wow. You said a couple of things there that piqued my interest. You said you'll actually call more in the fall than in the spring. Is that right?
Absolutely. More vocalization in the fall. In the springtime, the spring season, turkey hunters are utilizing a very small window of opportunity when a hen calls to a gobbler, to a tom, and he responds to mate. But that's just a small window. That's just a little time in the spring. The rest of the year, turkeys are normal, and they call to each other. So in the fall, I hunt fall gobblers, the big turkeys, the old turkeys, and hunt those. You don't sound like a hen. You sound like a gobbler. You do a gobbler yelp or jake yelp, the purrs and clucks, and you challenge the gobbler in their pecking order. And I target fall gobblers, and that's my favorite turkey to hunt in the fall is the gobblers. And to me, there's nothing like it because the calling is, it challenges that turkey. They want to come in and fight or run you off, or you're a different voice. And it's so much more involved with vocalization. You'll hear more vocalizations from hens, all the turkeys in the fall, than you will in the spring. And you utilize those calls to call turkeys in the fall.
How much will you use a kiki run in the fall? I've talked to a couple of guys before that have had some success with that.
Well, it depends if I'm targeting small birds, young birds. If you're targeting hens and poults, I use a kiki quite a bit. The standard method, the age-old method of hunting fall turkeys is to find a flock and to scatter them. And when you scatter them, they kiki to recall, so you use a kiki. You can do that. But I only use scattering as a secondary method. To me, I've always told turkey, if you get close enough to scatter them, you ought to just shoot one. But you can use the kiki quite a bit on a scatter, but I just move and call. The fall season, your key elements to kill fall turkeys is to find the turkeys, find the food source, find the turkeys. I roost in the fall. If you roost turkeys in the fall, get set up on them, that's when you're going to hear the vocalization. And then you challenge the pecking order. That old hen doesn't want another hen in there she doesn't know in her area and calling. And when you call the hen to hen and challenge a dominant hen, you're challenging the pecking order, and she comes charging in and brings the rest of the flock with them. And you also just move and call. If you don't get birds roosted, you can just go and set up in a good area that you know and call and wait for turkeys to come in. And you'll hear them call, and you'll call the entire flock in. And I hunt entire areas like that. And if the habitat doesn't change, the woods doesn't change, I can go this turkey season right now where I hunted 30 years ago and sat in the same places and called turkeys.
Wow. A lot of people think turkeys will only gobble in the spring, but I can remember vividly years ago sitting out on one of my favorite fishing holes in October. It was a beautiful fall day,
right.
And there were gobblers going crazy all around me, right?
Yeah, the pecking order. That's hunters, because they spring hunt, they don't understand what all goes on with the social structure of wild turkey. Turkeys gobble year-round. Just with more intensity during the spring mating season sometimes. Sometimes in the fall, they'll gobble all the way to the call. Actually, on my Facebook, just Ray I on Facebook, I have a fall hunt posted of fall gobblers hunting with a flintlock, and you can watch them gobble and strut there. They gobble and strut year-round, but they strut in the fall for dominance, not to attract hens for mating.
Very good. And if we want to hear these vocalizations, we want to see you do it firsthand. It's all online. We can check your Facebook page. We can go to your website.
Right. Right. I have DVDs on my website all about fall turkey hunting. But if you want to hear it and see the turkeys reacting, it was a hunt that was on Midwest Outdoors Television, and it's on my Facebook page. Just go to Ray I on Facebook and click, and you'll see it there, and you can hear the calls.
Sure, absolutely. What does that do to the turkeys when that big blast of cold air comes in?
It doesn't have much effect on them. They're fine. You know, they live out there year-round. It has more effect on us as hunters because we've been coming through the summertime, and it's pretty cold. It's cold here. We got wind and cold and rain, but it doesn't affect the turkeys much. Actually, when it's cold like that on a still morning, they're very, very vocal on the roost.
Awesome. Hey, it's a great time of year to get out in the woods. Like you said, it's beautiful. It's comfortable.
Yes.
And the turkeys are active, and man, there's nothing better in deer camp than that good fried turkey in the evening.
Oh, love that fried turkey breast. That's my favorite. Absolute favorite.
You bet. Ray, always a pleasure to talk to you. Give us the web address one more time.
RayEye.com is my web, and just put RayEye in Facebook, and it'll pop right up.
Gotcha. Ray, good hunting to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much, and good luck out there with everybody. Have a great fall.
The great Ray I, hunting the hills in his native Missouri. Fall turkeys. Hey, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. You can set a guy like Ray I out in the woods with nothing more than his mouth to mimic turkeys, and he'll be just fine. Ray and I were standing in the hallway at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville during a National Wild Turkey Federation convention a few years back, and hey, he just went to gobbling. It was awesome. Mimics an owl pretty darn good, too. That's him. Hey, this corner of the camp house at Kinder Outdoors is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. There's a Pro Plan formula for your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, and Kansas. When I say your dog, I'm talking about the puppy, the teenager, the senior citizen, the working dog, the couch potato, or the dog that has sensitive skin, digestive issues, whatever. There's a Pro Plan built for your dog, and it's at Atwood's. Back in January, in life pre-COVID, we were up on stage just having a great time at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo, and part of that fun, that time, was spent with a couple of guys from SAM, the Sportsman's All-Weather, All-Terrain Marksmanship Course, located on the FTW Ranch in Texas. Doug Pritchard and Dave Kinesic are a couple of the top shooting instructors on the planet, and they teach at FTW. They were teaching us from the stage, and we're going to go back and recall their lessons when I come back from the coffee pot. If you missed that deer last year, you don't need to go anywhere. Stick around.
It's professional angler Keith Combs, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
The first time that I gave my taxidermy work to Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas, was way back in 1994. It was a very special little Texas Hill Country whitetail, just a spindly little management buck. But to this day, decades later, still one of the most cherished memories in my home, and it still looks as fresh as it did back then. My son was 10 years old, and this was his very first deer. There have been a lot of years and a lot of memories preserved since that time, and the common denominator in them all is Roy Holdridge and True Life Taxidermy. True Life is trusted by hunters and fishermen from around the world and is called upon to handle the artistry that brings that hunt or fishing trip back to life every time they admire True Life's work in their home, office, or hunt camp. True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Give us your wild game processing order, too. We'll take care of it. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
Do you love crappie? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you to the Crappie Expo 2020 in Branson, Missouri, October the 30th through November 1st at the Branson Convention Center. Crappie Expo will have over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers showing and selling the greatest and latest crappie fishing products in the world. Crappie Expo 2020 features the richest crappie tournament in history. Catch all the weigh-ins at the Crappie Expo. Hey, you like to eat crappie? The world's largest crappie fry starts at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Crappie Expo. How much crappie can you eat for free? And don't forget to sign up. Free drawings to win a new Ranger or Vexus boat at the Crappie Expo. Must be present to win. Let's see. Crappie Expo 2020 has country music, free crappie, free boats, and crappie fishing products out the kazoo. I'll see you at the Crappie Expo 2020. Be sure to bring the kids. It's trick or treat. Don't you just love Branson? CrappieExpo.com and ExploreBranson.com.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com, 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Hardware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things Buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd. 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Ever been dropped off in a remote wilderness where the bears outnumber people 10 to 1? And the mosquitoes have been known to carry off full-grown moose? Lucky, join us in camp and tell us about it at Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
We attend the most critical conservation meetings, no matter where on earth they might be. Sometimes that's Switzerland, sometimes Africa, and sometimes the kitchen table with the future outdoorsman or woman. DSC, grassroots conservation, at work, home, and abroad. BigGame.org.
This corner of the Camp House brought to you by my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. I'm going back. I'm going to be there later this fall hunting birds, and I'd love for you to go with me to this Orvis Wing Shooting Lodge of the Year, this Beretta Trident Lodge for excellence in upland bird hunting. I don't care where you go this fall, you're not going to have a better hunt than Joshua Creek. Learn more about my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch when you come see me at kinderoutdoors.com. Hey, let's get back up on stage now with Dave and Doug from SAM, Precision Shooting Training.
So there are 7 principles of marksmanship. The longer you teach and the longer you train, you'll find that if you define these things and you learn how to execute them perfectly as the way they are written, you'll be in less trouble. Fair enough. Number one in the principles of marksmanship, does anybody know what that is? The first principle? Good answer. Yeah, it's body position. Body position. So what you're going to find, the body position, when you set your, when you understand what a good body position looks like and setting a gun up, these are stepping stones to the next step. Number two step is acceptable reticle movement. So ideally, in the field, when you're dealing with different size animals, you have different size kill zones. When we're training out there, what we find is, what is acceptable? If I have a target this big, then I need to hold a wobble that is controllable to about a quarter, which would be great, to about one-third the size of that target. If I can do that, if I can manage that wobble down to that small amount, and I apply the next principles, chances are I'm going to hit that target. So we find that in training, we need to be able to, one, understand what that looks like. So if you're on a target, regardless of its distance, and you're moving from one side of that target to the next, you need to back up to number one, get that position squared away, so you can get down to that acceptable reticle movement, if that makes sense to y'all. Right. So, number one, body position. Number two, acceptable vertical movement. And then from there, what's next? We go into our breathing. So when we're doing breathing, a lot of times when people are training, they're sitting there training doing shallow breaths. But as hunters, we're moving to a target, or you're excited, and that breathing's the first thing that's going to slow you down, right? So we put a lot of emphasis at what they call natural respiratory pulse, right? And the next step from there, you're breathing and focus. Focus is different than the previous focus when you were looking at acceptable reticle movement. That's kind of a coarse focus. That's like the basketball player on the foul line looking up there at the net. He's trying to disconnect all those people waving those flags behind that backstop. So in this case, focus is literally the crosshair or your front, or your arm sights in that case. And that's an extreme focus. So there's breathing, there's a pause, and that pause is focus. And then there's trigger control. Trigger control is exactly what it says. So we probably spend more time getting people to manage their triggers properly. And when you're doing precision shooting, it's slow. It's the slowest motion possible to manage that trigger properly. And then as you pick up pace, or you're shooting a big bore gun, big bore shooting is nothing more than the seven principles in faster motion. Or pistol shooting or shotgun shooting, it's still the seven principles, but in faster speeds than precision, if that makes sense. So trigger control, and then what we call after that, you have, we have a term we saw, it's called ride the bull. Ride the bull is follow through. Once the gun goes off, we got to manage that recoil, stay on target, and keep your head on the scope. We see a lot of hunters that come out, when they fire the gun, they'll raise their head off the gun to look at the target or see what they did, but we're really emphasizing stay on the gun, reload that gun, get back on target for that second shot. So follow through. And the last thing, again, with that, you run the bolt, and you prepare to engage the target. So those are the seven principles of marksmanship. All right. We have what we call shooter to target acceptable range. So what that means is what shooter to target acceptable range is, and it's an acronym, a STAR, right? So we call it your STAR. What that means is in a prone position, you have a distance and a target size that you are comfortable taking and you are 100% sure you can hit it. Does that make sense? But when you get off the ground and you start getting into a off the ground, well, you're off the ground because you can't get a prone shot, then you're looking at your sitting position or a kneeling position or a standing position. Those rings of circle get smaller and smaller and smaller. And a good hunter recognizes their limitations within those positions, if that makes sense. Right, and not only that's your gun, your scope, your ammo, yourself, and the environment you're in. You might be a great prone shooter at whatever distance. I'm a great 300, 400, whatever it is distance, but you get in a 10-mile-an-hour, 15, 20-mile-an-hour crosswind, you are no longer a 400-yard shooter. Fair enough? Yeah, so you have to understand what that is, a shooter to target acceptable range. That makes you a good hunter. That's what hunting's about, right? It's not just shooting, but it's understanding your capability and using environment to your advantage. And as we talked about earlier, acceptable reticle movement. Again, that is what we talked about, is understanding when you look through the scope whether you can take that shot or not, or you need to change your position or make your position more secure or more solid. All right, first thing we're going to talk about here is unsupported prone. And the rifle is clear and safe. It does not have a bolt, so it's a clear system. So Dave's going to go in an unsupported prone. There will be limitations, obviously, in an unsupported prone position. A number of reasons why. Your body position, bone support, muscle relaxation, a natural point of aim. So in that, he's using bone. He's using bone support, but he's also using muscle. So if you're using muscle, that's going to increase the wobble that he has. Next, he's going to go into using a backpack here. So obviously, the backpack is going to increase stability. Sometimes you have to watch using bipods and that off a backpack. But again, it's a really good position. His hand is probably free-floating. Is that right? Maybe a little free-floating there, and that means there'll be muscle added to it. If we put muscle into the gun, we are probably going to see a little bit of wobble increase up there, but certainly more a more stable platform than his free hand that he did. Next, we got using the bipod. So as we use a bipod system, we use them a lot. And the type of stuff we're doing out in the ranch, what we're at, we're over 12,000 acres. We're shooting off rocks, off trees, off all kinds of different stuff on our hunts. The bipod system, it should be built on the size that helps your thickness.
Yeah, they have shorter bipods for smaller, thinner people, and then they have taller bipods for thicker people. So we find that folks that are a little in the gray area, having a taller bipod is a lot more comfortable for them than that low profile. Next, Dave's going to use, we have this shooting glove. I had a competitive shooter, I think. You shot F-class. Somebody shot some competitions in here before. You know, competitive shooting, they use a shooting glove. A lot of your Olympic shooters, they'll use a supported glove that takes the heartbeat out of the shooter. In this particular case, that shooting glove, which I used in high power matches back in the 80s, and as I got into the military and in the sniper world, I brought that into the field because it's about weight. If it stabilizes the back of the gun, is it worth its weight? In this case, that particular glove is worth its weight. And for a lot of folks that's been out there and use it, they like it. Some people like to use shooting socks. Some people like to use shooting bags or whatever. But whatever you can do to support the back of the gun. So now he's got the gun pinned down in the pocket of his shoulder, and he should have a pretty solid, yes, he does, pretty solid laser on that cup.
More from Doug and Dave and the SAM Precision Shooting Course when I come back from the coffee pot. Hey, the folks at Joshua Creek Ranch, boy, they've gone above and beyond since COVID-19 to make sure that everything is clean and sterile and comfortable and safe. They want you to come well, stay well, and leave well. And they've even relaxed their cancellation policy just in case. Learn more about Joshua Creek Ranch at kinderoutdoors.com.
Hey everybody, it's professional bass angler Gerald Swindle from Hayden, Alabama. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it or I'm using the bathroom. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Well, not the using the bathroom part.
Well, sometimes outdoors, that's the place to be.
Hey, have you entered to win our giant fall hunting package yet? It's from Kinder Outdoors, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Dillon Hunting Blinds. It's called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows, and we're going to draw a winner in mid-December. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com to win a 6x6 Dillon bow and rifle combo blind on a 5-foot tower and a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, Wild Game Processing, and Event Center. Valued at over $6,000. This will be a humdinger of a ho-ho-ho. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com. Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that He died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, President of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon Hunting Blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out, with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
We thank God for the freedom, our men and women that defend it, and the Constitution that guarantees it. Welcome to camp with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
DSC has provided many thousands of kids with the first steps of a lifetime to enjoyment in the shooting sports, hunting, and fishing. Your ticket to DSC's Hunter Expo in February will help to ensure that future generations will too. BigGame.org.
Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a note. Leave a note on the door at KinderOutdoors.com, or hey, give me a call anytime at 877-820-BBKO. 877-820-2256. We're at Sam School today. Sportsman's all-weather, all-terrain marksmanship with Dave Kinesic and Doug Pritchett from the FTW Ranch.
My question was that I had always been taught to use the forearm for a rest rather than the barrel. But recently I saw somebody that hunts a great deal on a TV show use the barrel. Second question would be, I noticed that when he was shooting a while ago, his left arm was free rather than on the forearm, using it on the forearm, shooting like this.
Good question. All right, so the first question about the barrel, that would not be ideal. If you're maybe in that scenario, they were in a hurry, they threw the gun up there, it was resting on the barrel. You've heard it, the gun will, if your barrel touches something, the impact will be opposite of whatever it's touching. So I had to try it, put it against a tree, shot it about 100 yards, and that kicked about a foot and a half right from that tree. So ideally, resting on the barrel on some object is not ideal. I agree with that. Second question. Oh, okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah, so what you were talking about is his support hand was back supporting the back of the gun as opposed to forward. Yeah, and that really comes down to recoil management. If you're dealing in a medium cal gun that doesn't have a hunter guns are light and lighter, and then sometimes you put brakes on them and stuff like that. So when you look at recoil management, Having a lighter gun in the field, obviously it's going to kick a lot. So hunters that bring their hand forward, there's nothing wrong with that, other than the fact that it does defy the principle you're talking about off the bipod when he had his hand forward. When you bring your hand back, it's more like a bench shot. The front of the gun is supported on a bipod. The back of the hand is supporting the gun like you're shooting in a bench-like position. Hopefully that answers your question.
What I had, the controversy that I heard before was your lack of accuracy, you being more accurate if you can control the gun with two hands rather than one.
Good. The backhand. backhand. The backhand might have been hard to see from your position, especially if he had a sling, like a sling swivel. That hand is supporting the air and grip with the sling swivel. Yeah. And this really comes down to what kind of gun you have, how much recoil you're dealing with. So certainly the hand forward, again, go back to number one principle. This takes muscle. This takes no muscle. So it depends on, again, how much recoil you're dealing with. If you have a muzzle brake, as you get into calibers that are higher, they're going to kick more. In that case, your hand will come forward. Yeah, we don't shoot big bores with the hand in the back. Those are medium cal rifles. Like this particular gun's probably a 6.5. It's a Hill Country rifle, and there is no recoil on that at all. So bring that hand back because it's two of the forward support, the rear support, really good center of gravity on the gun. In that case, we get that the most accuracy out of that position as opposed to the hand forward.
On that light, if you're strictly just shooting offhand, all right, you need a quick, you need a quick shot. How about the different position of that hand? That's kneeling. I'm talking about if you're standing, is what I'm talking about. That, got it. Okay.
That position there, obviously, for the folks that shoot competitively, that position with the hand and the elbow in, that is the preferred position for long. If you look at people who shoot long distances and match-type shooting, that hand's brought in that position to pin the elbow down, which gives you bone support. Yeah. But a lot of your African type, very quick shot type shooting, your buffalo hunting, your elephant hunting, that type stuff, that's normally that hand's going to be out forward. So, yes, sir. In my case, like on a double gun, my finger right here goes right to the end of the stock. So every time my hand is in the same position on that particular gun. So, you know, different body sizes, different gun stocks and that. So it's kind of again, you follow the principles, and if it makes sense, I would do it. Fair enough? It's got to feel comfortable. You know, one thing we didn't cover, you notice this stock has a cheek pad, because one of the fundamentals of a good body position is bone support, right? Here with the cheek, are they called stock weld? Right, and a lot of folks, when you take a stock or a rifle and you throw a scope on it, well, that stock was made for an iron sight. And now your scope is an inch and a half high, 2 inches high up. Now you're floating the cheekbone to look through that scope. So that's like things like that. That cheek pad gets you in line with the scope. So when you relax your head and you got your stock weld, you're looking through the scope the same way every time. Fair enough. All this stuff just adds to accuracy, adds to accuracy, adds to accuracy.
What are some of the common things, mistakes that you see on hunts?
Oh, there we go. Why don't you take that one, Dave?
Okay, so inability to rapidly acquire the target. So you're on a hunt. Your PH says there's a mule deer by the green tree and the white rock. It's like, okay, which green tree and which white rock? So the first thing when you get into camp is talk to your PH about how are we gonna call out targets. So we're gonna use the clock position, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like this. Establish some known points of reference. The hilltop, there's a big tree, there's a road intersection, things like that. That way you can talk each other onto the target quickly. Another thing, I'll pass this to you, Doug. You guys have probably looked through your scope once you've identified the target with your naked eye. Okay, now I look through my scope and I can't find it. I'm on 18 power, 20 power, whatever, and I struggle, and it's kind of like looking through the soda straw. And you're scanning and scanning and scanning, and what do you see? Rocks and trees and rocks and trees and rocks and trees, and you start to get frustrated. There's a lot of techniques, different techniques that you can utilize that'll help you acquire that target faster. One of them, just when you're in the, if you're prone or whatever your stable position is to have a good cheek weld, look right over the top of the stock or right over the top of your scope. As you're sighting over the top of the scope, if Doug wants to kind of demonstrate this, I think we can even do it standing. So he'll shoulder the rifle. He'll see the object with his naked eye over the top of the scope, get it lined up just perfect, and then drop his head into the glass. And then you'll find that the scope is on your target much quicker this way than just scanning randomly with your scope. Doug?
All right, let's talk about this. It's called hair in a scope. And we have when we do our training, we have what's called the hair in a scope drill. doesn't matter how long you train or how long you've been training for, but if you fall back, it's called the law of primacy. The law of primacy is if you're going to fall back to your training, right? So in that case, when a lot of times when folks get an animal in their crosshairs, they throw away everything they ever learned, and they're going right back to the beginning. So we recommend if you are a lot of folks will go to ranges, they'll shoot off benches, they're reloaders. It's all good stuff. But be aware that those things or those drills when you're firing around, opening the boat, taking out one piece of brass, putting in the box, and putting another one in, under pressure a lot of times that's what we fall back to. Try to the best you can simulate the training that you're or that hunt that you're going to be going on, if that makes sense. You know, so instead of range training, you're hunter training.
Fascinating stuff. Doug and Dave from SAM Precision Hunting School on the FTW Range. Hey, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and book an Axis deer hunt at Joshua Creek Ranch in the Texas Hill Country. They're one of the few places on the North American continent that have a free range herd of spectacular, great-tasting Axis deer. Book now. With peace of mind, they have relaxed their cancellation policy. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this camp house today and invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.